The surge of migrants has left U.S. Border Patrol agents strained as they deal with the influx of families seeking out agents at the border, asking for asylum. In this conversation you're about to hear, Border Patrol agent Justin Callinger takes me on a 20-mile ride along of the border in the Yuma sector. You'll also hear the rescue of a migrant mother of two who jumps into the canal to get the agent's attention. I'm Peter Seymour, KTAR news reporter in Phoenix, Arizona.
Arizona's immigration crisis.
As you know, the U.S. Border Patrol, we patrol outside the ports of entry. And the only legal way to come into the United States is through a port of entry. So when people say, how long have your borders been open or closed? Well, there's never been open borders. Like, according to what we do and what we're charged with by policy and the Constitution is we protect the United States, making sure that our borders are closed. You cannot come into this country unless you go through a port of entry illegally. So everyone that we apprehend, in essence, is they have created a criminal act. That is 8 U.S.C. 1325. Now, with that being said, that doesn't mean that we treat anyone any differently. They're still humans. So we need to make sure that they're safe. We need to make sure that if they are injured or drowning or doing, we're doing everything we can to save a human life. That's what we look for first and foremost. Now, if we find out later that we saved a rapist, murderer, someone like that who has a large criminal background, well, then that's who we saved. Because at the time, it doesn't matter. We're here to make sure that these people are safe when they come into this country. We don't deem anyone differently when they come into this country.
Would that make the United States rare? Because I would imagine if others crossed into other countries illegally, who knows what could happen to them?
Yeah, it could be. Could be. You know, I don't really know. I'm not charged with those duties. But I know here we are very humanitarian, detail-oriented organization. And that's what we're dealing with right now. We're paying over $100,000 a month just at our sector right now in order for people to have food, diapers, any other needs that they may have other than medical. And our medical is actually what we pay for medical expenses is even larger than that, because everyone at our sector gets 100% initial medical evaluation, no matter who they are. So they'll get that. Once that happens, if we deem or the medical professionals deem that they need to go to the hospital or it's a precautionary measure, we take them directly to the hospital. Unfortunately, that's where the taxpayers come in, just like us. We pay for all of that. And last year, we paid over $700,000 in medical bills for people that were that came into the country illegally.
Last fiscal year.
Last fiscal year, yes.
I'm wondering if many Americans even realize the humanitarian mission of the Border Patrol. Do you get the impression that, you know, Border Patrol means you patrol the border, you keep the criminals out, you have limited access or even limited responsibility with people who are coming to this country who are not necessarily criminals?
I think it is alarming a lot of times when we're fortunate enough to take people out and show them a snapshot of what our profession is. I think that's one of the things that most people, to include during like our citizens academies and things like that, where we invite this, you know, the community into our home per se, to see what we do kind of on a daily basis. And even the media, most of the media that we see that come out, they're surprised on how much interaction we have with people, the community at large.
KTAR's Peter Seymour here with Agent Justin Callinger of the Border Patrol for the Yuma sector. Describe to us exactly where we are right now.
So we're close to the Andrade Port of Entry. We're about a half a mile west of the Andrade Port of Entry. This was an area known in 2005. We wouldn't be here. This was a very out-of-control area. If we were working traffic in 2005, we would have been about 3 or 4 miles north of this area. To the west of us, we'll have our floating fence, which helps us lift the fence with a crane in order to take the sand from underneath it to keep that barrier between Mexico and the United States.
And right across the fence, of course, is just daily life in Mexico, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, everything keeps moving. And what we like as agents is the fact that you can see through there. You can see what people are doing down there. Although they're just doing their everyday thing, there are places amongst the border here that people are trying to come in illegally. We do have smugglers that are trying to do bad things to our country. So we prefer to have somewhere where we can see them, even though they can see us.
And then on top of that, there's some concrete down below, too. So I guess that would make the fencing more secure and harder to dig underneath in this part of the fence.
Absolutely. So we definitely, that's part of the fencing that we want, is to have that footing to make sure that if they do try to traverse underneath it, that does stop them.
Anything else we should know about this section here with the barbed wire, and this is about a 16-foot fence? Anything else we should know?
Well, I think the fact that it is 16 to 18-foot fence, and it's still kind of outdated in the sense that people still try to come over 16 to 18-foot fence. We're looking here at Yuma Sector to get the 30-foot fence bollard style that we have right here, just a little taller, which seems to be keeping people out in other parts of the country.
And how deep does the fence need to be dug so it could prevent people from tunneling under?
Well, if I told you how deep, then someone would dig that deep. So I would say it needs to be deep enough to keep people out. We're out in the sand, near the sand dunes, Imperial Sand Dunes here on the west end of Yuma Sector. What we're looking at here is our floating fence. You can see that it looks a lot different than the other pieces of infrastructure we had just seen. Still kind of the bollard style fencing, but you can see these posts that come off. And what that is they're utilized so that the hinges that are, you know, it looks to be about every 7 foot, 8 foot, you can lift these up, these pieces, these sections, but with a crane, and you can go underneath it and clean out the sand so that you can set it back down where it's level so the infrastructure stays true to what it's supposed to do, is keep people out. As you can see, it's all steel, the hinges, and you can see kind of how the mound kind of builds right below my feet. And what it is you can lift these up. So these are where you can set these in place, these different types of hinges. And it lifts it up, clean it out, and set it back down. So, yeah, it's been a very, very effective piece of infrastructure that we've had here. In fact, an agent was killed about 6 or 7 miles from here. He was murdered by a smuggler who ran him over in the Imperial Sand Dunes, and that was before we had this infrastructure. And we truly believe if we would have had this, we would have had a lot better chance of saving that agent's life.
How long has this been here?
About 2010 mm-hmm. is when all the infrastructure was finished here at Yuma Sector. It was started 2006.
There were ways of getting over the old fence with the sand dunes.
Well, there was no fence. So if you can imagine that there's literally nothing here. Like, it was open area. The only thing that delineated Mexico and the U.S., was a monument that was probably 6 or 7 miles down the road. So the old 1800s, they had put monuments when we acquired California, Arizona, way back, and these monuments were set up so that Mexico and the United States could delineate the property we now own. So those stayed intact until 2010, when there was actual infrastructure that was put up.
And, of course, with the dunes building up, you know, people can just drive right over them and just find ways of getting past everything.
That's what they would try to do, and that's why we were able to design something that keeps them from doing that. And that's what we thought about when we first started, like I said, designing these things, is Mother Nature is an amazing thing, and she can put a lot of sand in a lot of places in a short amount of time. But this gives us the ability to move that out of the way so that we don't lose the structural integrity of these walls.
We moved to a shallow stretch of the Colorado River, which forms a natural border between the U.S. and Mexico. There's no fence there. Migrants easily cross the river into the U.S.
A heads up, certain sensor went off, so we might be getting a group here shortly.
Oh,
if you want to take a walk down there.
We'll do that right now.
So on the radio, we got a call from dispatch. We've got technology in the area, some sensors and whatnot on the ground and around this area that have had that have been going off, per se. And this is common when there's groups of illegal aliens that are coming this way.
And so what's the reaction right now for Border Patrol? What's the response? What can we expect from them?
So what we normally do, we go and make sure that what's going on with this device, and if it is illegal activity, then we try to make sure that our agents are safe. We apprehend if there are people that are coming up. Then we will apprehend them as we normally do. We'll write them up, and then they'll be transported. And as you can see, we have a family unit, a mother with their child.
They just crossed over the border. They look out of breath.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are tired. So yeah, as you can see, the agent responded to the device, and it ended up being a mother with a child. Now, that may be an aunt, that may be a sister, that may be, but it looks to be an adult with probably probably 4 to 5 year old child.
Can your agents ask that woman if that's her daughter, and ask the daughter if that's her mother or the relationship?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's what they do. That's what we normally will do. I mean, we need to get their names, date of birth. That's normal biographical information we get from everybody. Sometimes that'll show irregularities, things like that. Again, the agent will investigate, and then they'll be taken to our station and then processed.
And it looks like she was out of breath and needed some water.
They're out of breath because we'll walk over there, and they walk up these smaller hills and things like that. And as far as water, as you can look behind us, a quarter mile, there's actual Highway 2, which then leads into Andrade. So it's not really that far from civilization.
Oh, and that's Highway 2 for the
Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah, not our Highway 2. Okay. So what was the story that was told to the agent here?
So as the agent described it to me, it was a mother with her daughter. They're from Honduras. Again, they had to pay a certain amount in order to get over here. They were smuggled, and they were told just to cross that area that we saw, they recorded, and just give up to the Border Patrol. And that's what they did.
Very simple.
Simple enough.
Yeah. And you said there's a marine unit here, or a water unit here?
Absolutely. We have, Yuma has a Yuma Riverine unit. So they control the waterways, the Colorado River, between Mexico and the United States. They make sure that the people that are trying to cross in the river, that they're safe, in the sense of if they make sure that they don't need to be rescued, and then they make apprehensions when needed.
Back to that mother and daughter, that was their story. So now what's the process? Is it up to a federal agency to determine if they're telling the truth?
So they'll go to back to our station, their process like everybody else, and if the agents see or during investigations they realize that this is a false family again, they'll separate the two, and they'll move forward for the adjudication on both of them.
So that means the woman could go to one place and the little girl could go anywhere else, and she probably doesn't know what to expect.
If they were a false family, then yes, they would be separated, and then she would be put in a detention facility for unaccompanied children so that we make sure that she is safe and she has the care she needs.
Did they give out an age for those two?
They did not.
Agent Callinger showed me the Normandy barriers. They're made of steel and just 42 inches tall. They were meant to stop cars, not pedestrians.
This is a path that they have been taking recently, for probably in the last month or so. As you can see, we went over under the vehicle barrier in 2005. This was necessary. This was the infrastructure that we found best suited this area. Now it doesn't. It doesn't stop pedestrians. It wasn't built to stop pedestrians. So as we'll walk down, I'll walk down this way. I'll show you the path. And like I said, you can see the cars just west of us. And that, again, you see how close it is. And that's Highway 2. So they'll drop their product, their contraband, their people off, and then I'll show you where they cross a shallow portion of the river and then come right up here, and then they give up to our agents.
It's almost routine, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what we're dealing with right now, hundreds and hundreds of give-ups. You know, they're not trying to get away from us. You know, that's not what their goal is. They're trying to get to us so that they can be given this piece of paper that says, hey, you know, you need to see the judge on this date, and then they sooner or later are let out into the United States.
That must be a major difference that you've seen with this crisis with immigration and then with maybe the one in 05, 06.
In 05, everyone wanted to run away from you. They tried to evade everything that you did. Their tactics were different. A lot of them were a lot more dangerous. in their tactics. You know, they would speed away from you. They would, you know, do anything they could to try to defeat you. Whereas now they're walking right to us. There's no evading. There's no hiding. You know, and it's not uncommon that we don't walk up right now and they send a bunch this way to us, knowing that we're over here.
Why are Mexicans not crossing in the numbers that they used to?
That's a great question. I think because of the fact that they know that their cases can be adjudicated and they can be sent right back to Mexico. I also think that Central Americans are being told different things, and they're also being told that, you know, they can go into the country in 20 days. They only have to pay a certain amount of fee, you know, whatever that cost is. Usually it's between $5,000 and $7,000.
In these next few seconds, you'll hear a rescue from the Salinity Canal along the U.S.-Mexico border. This Guatemalan mother of two jumped into the water deliberately to get the attention of Border Patrol agents.
Señora, llega la escalera. Va a estar resbaloso, pero síguele. ¿Le quedaron los zapatos? ¿Vamos a caer adentro?
Es que venía caminando en la orilla.
¿No puede caminar? Vamos a agarrar a sus hijos.
So what was the story that was told to the agent here?
As the agent described it to me, it was a mother with her daughter. They're from Honduras. Again, they had to pay a certain amount in order to get over here. They were smuggled, and they were told just to cross that area that we saw, they recorded, and just give up to the Border Patrol. And that's what they did.
Very simple.
Simple enough.
And you said there's a marine unit here or a water unit here?
Absolutely. We have, Yuma has their Yuma Riverine Unit. So they control the waterways, the Colorado River between Mexico and the United States. They make sure that the people that are trying to cross in the river, that they're safe in the sense of if they make sure that they don't need to be rescued. And then they make apprehensions when needed.
Back to that mother and daughter, that was their story. So now what's the process? Is it up to a federal agency to determine if they're telling the truth?
So they'll go to back to our station, their process like everybody else. And if the agents see or during investigations, they realize that this is a false family again, they'll separate the two and they'll move forward for the adjudication on both of them.
So that means the woman can go to one place and the little girl could go anywhere else and she probably doesn't know what to expect.
If they were a false family, then yes, they would be separated, and then she would be put in a detention facility for unaccompanied children so that we make sure that she is safe and she has the care she needs.